ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so fortunate today to be joined by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. So if I can mention a few things by way of introduction to Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's quite a familiar face. We're very fortunate that almost every year he comes, he visits us, he encourages us to go deeper into the philosophy and to spread it and share it with everybody. So while sort of researching a little bit more about him, I was so thoroughly inspired by his journey in Krishna consciousness, so I thought I'd share that with you. So from a very young age, he was always seeking to know the meaning of life. And this was from a really young age, and his burning curiosity led him to renounce the material world, effectively. He gave away so many possessions and he started sleeping on the floor, and this is as a teenager. And he was distancing himself from his friends, just really trying to go deeper because he wanted to know the meaning of life. You know, so as you can imagine, as parents of a teenager, they were getting a little bit worried, but at the same time, you know, trying to support him in his journey. So one day, amazingly enough, while he was sitting in his room, one of his friends came by knocking on the door and said, I've got a spiritual magazine that a monk gave me in the street. I'm not really interested, but I thought you might be. And he was interested. So his friend left outside the door, and then when Prabhuji started reading the book, reading the magazine, the Back to Godhead magazine, he saw the pictures of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, and immediately he felt that connection. And he, you know, following on from then, he read more about the philosophy, and he basically became a monk at 16 years old. He started visiting the temple in San Francisco and received initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1973. And now he travels the world lecturing, counseling, and inspiring devotees. And as we've seen, he started so many innovative projects using so many modern technologies that there are out there already, and using them for the service of Srila Prabhupada. So he uses innovative ways to enable devotees to actually practice Prabhupada's teachings. So a lot of us have been doing CHAD, which is great. It allows you to daily connect with Bhagavad Gita. And I think that if the structure of CHAD wasn't there, a lot of us wouldn't be able to make that connection daily. And last year, when he facilitated our Sangha, he also told us to read chapter 2 of Canto 1 as well, which I know quite a few of you are doing also. So he's inspired us in so many ways. He's currently the temple president of Silicon Valley as well. And whenever you think of Vaisheshika Prabhu, whenever you hear his name, you think of book distribution. And this is one of his missions. So thank you so much for joining us today. We're so pleased that you've made time to join us.
Hare Krishna, my obeisances to you, Mataji, and to your whole group. And actually, this is finding the groups, your group, and groups like it that bring in devotees who are vitally interested in hearing is the best place in the universe to be. And that's the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, that find out like-minded devotees who are very advanced and who are interested in hearing. And if you insert yourself somehow or other, beg, borrow, or steal, but get into that kind of sangha, then your advancement will be natural, because everything comes from hearing. And if you could give me some parameters about what you'd like me to do today. I know that I'm speaking about the process of creation. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fourth chapter, and giving an overview. Is there any other protocol you'd like to tell me about, Mataji, before I keep going?
Oh, no, whatever you prepare is wonderful, please.
Okay, and just a couple more questions I have. Do you normally have interaction where devotees would share thoughts as the reading goes on?
Yes, we can do that. And if you wanted people to share in their own groups, then I can facilitate a breakout room, break out people to discuss a matter and then get them all together again, if that's something that you'd like to do.
Wow. Well, that's something I didn't even know about on Zoom. Thanks for telling me. That's good to know. Well, okay, great. Well, let's just start it and see how the flow of this goes. So the conversation that we're in the middle of is a story within a story. We have Suta Goswami speaking to the sages at Naimasharanya and then describing to them the discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. And revealed scripture is such a benediction to us, because even if we were there at the time when this was spoken, it may have been a little difficult to be exactly in the same place at Naimasharanya and also or with Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. There were so many great sages there. Who would get the front row seats? Certainly not me. In any case, because this is all has been passed down in the sound vibration, we are there. We're right in the middle of the conversation, and it's the best of all conversations. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami mentions that there are three categories of people who get benefited when the discussion of Bhagavatam is going on, and that's the speaker, the person who's listening, and everybody else in between. The vibration is so powerful that it purifies everyone it touches. Having said that, the process of creation has some elements in it that are especially notable and useful for all of us. Beginning with the first verse, Suta Goswami says, Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Shukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. So this phraseology, concentration faithfully, the faithful concentration, we can say, in the verse itself, satim vyadhat, he applied his faithful, or in the word for word, satim means chaste. And this is the essence of all advice, actually, for advancing on the spiritual path. As Krishna says in the beginning of the 7th chapter of the Gita, mayasakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashaya asamshayam samagramam yata gyasasi tashrinu. Prabhupada emphasizes this verse again and again, in which Krishna tells Arjuna that you'll come to know everything. All the categories of energy you can understand, just touch Srinu, just hear from me. And how should one hear? With full concentration. In fact, earlier in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that one should hear with rapt attention. And the word rapt actually comes from the word rapture, which means to be fully absorbed. So Jiva Goswami says that one can understand one's level of advancement for oneself by just observing how eager one is to hear. That is, to the degree that I'm eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to that degree I'm advancing. So faithful concentration, or satim vyadat, applying one's mind very deeply. So that's one of the points that comes out in the beginning here, is that Parikshit Maharaj in this chapter is being appreciated, that he had this chasteness of consciousness and faith, so much so that he had given up eating food or drinking water. That's also mentioned later in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Naishati dushaha shunmam tyakto dama pibhadate pibantan tan mukam boja Chutam Harikatamritam. He tells Shukadeva Goswami that normally I would feel distress because of not eating, or what to speak of drinking, or what to speak of even sleeping. He says, but I'm not feeling any disturbance because I'm hearing the nectar that's falling from your mouth. Chutam Harikatamritam. And therefore, the second verse, we hear, Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. Prabhupada notes many times, in the realm of powerful people, like politicians, it's very difficult to give up power. If someone's given a little chip in the game somewhere, he or she wants to keep it. And even in old age, even when one's not able to carry out the duties fully, we see people all over the world, despots and so forth, who have control. And even everyone wants them to leave. There are millions of people marching in the street saying, "You please go away now." But they don't want to go. And here we have Maharaj Parikshit, whose power was unparalleled, who had opulence beyond what we can imagine today, yet he was detached. And the reason is given here because of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna. And this is the real secret of renunciation. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara sadehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that when someone develops a higher taste, then he or she naturally gives up the lower taste. And the only taste that actually gives us complete fulfillment is when we have wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna. And that can be developed by practice. If one practices hearing about Krishna, then naturally Krishna helps from within the heart to remove any obstacles. And as one hears, the Bhagavatam says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Charira Haitukam. There are benefits that come from hearing. One of them is that you get knowledge, and another is there's a sense of detachment from the world. What to speak of what I just mentioned, Vidhunoti Suritsatam, Krishna's the Suhrit, the well-wishing friend within the heart. And when he notices that somebody's trying to hear about him, he helps to sort out the good from the bad, and helps us to have the determination to get rid of the anartas, or the unwanted kinds of values that we have in our heart. So this chapter starts off saying that Parikshit Maharaj had this quality of wanting to hear. He was fixed in hearing. So that's the best sign of all anyone can have in the practice of bhakti. And then here's the result. Because of his wholehearted attraction, it's the biggest miracle of all. When someone, not out of frustration or impulsively, but with full conviction, can actually transfer his attention, transfer her attention away from the material to the spiritual. That's the sum and substance of the practice of bhakti through hearing and getting association with devotees who are similarly attracted to hearing. Then we continue on, and I'm just going through some of the verses here because the introductory verses are really setting the scene for Shukadev Goswami to begin his prayers to the Lord. Number 3 and 4 says, O great sages, the great soul Maharaj Parikshit, constantly wrapped in thought of Lord Krishna, knowing well of his imminent death, renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna, and asked all these questions exactly as you are asking me. and questions are meant for humans, especially to ask, what is my ultimate good? It's an amazing phenomena that if somebody sincerely asks that question, Atato Brahma Jignasa, then the answers are forthcoming. This is a point that comes up regularly in the Shastra. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, the one with 34 verses, Sutta Goswami says, Kamasya nendriya prithir labo jiveti yavata jivasya tatva jignasya narto yascheha karmabi. That you should balance your life so that you're taking in whatever you need from the world just so that you can be adept at hearing and actually inquiring. You should be really expert at it. Become a master asker. Ask the deep questions. And as you do, especially if you ask questions about Krishna, Krishna will send into your life people who can answer the questions. I always like to say that the result of a good hearing and chanting session is that you come out with more questions than answers. You can notice that in any learned assembly, you can judge who's very advanced by how good their questions are. And oftentimes, if somebody asks, are there any questions, people stare blankly because they don't have any questions. And that may mean that they haven't deeply heard and chanted enough to develop questions. So the more questions you develop as you're hearing and chanting, the more deeply you're going into the material. There's no end to it. It's not that we can answer all the questions and then you get an A+ on your paper and then you're finished. But actually, we want to go more and more deeply within the subject matter, just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were speaking together, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept probing and asking deeper questions of Ramananda Roy, who at one point said, I am not actually answering these questions. You're speaking through me and asking the question, and you're causing me to speak. I'm just like a doll or a mannequin. I'm doing your will by speaking. But the point is that the questions, they bring out the deeper and deeper subjects. So now, before we take a few reflections on the first part, we have King Parikshit speaking. So let's hear what he says. This is text number 5. O learned Brahmana, you know everything because you are without material contamination. Therefore, whatever you have spoken to me appears perfectly right. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance, for you are narrating the topics of the Lord. So here, Parikshit Maharaj confirming this principle. When you hear from a qualified person, you're actually getting a transfer of that person's sentiment in the practice of devotional service. It enters into your heart. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, Tadvidi pranipatina pariprashnena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina, that the way to actually come to knowledge is to approach a person who's very advanced and then humbly inquire and render service. And there's a way in which the contents of that person's heart and all the association that person's had will enter into your heart. I had this experience a couple of years ago, and I had a teacher who was teaching me Mridanga, and I just relished the experience of sitting before someone who was teaching me and realizing that these principles are universal, that if you are very humble, you inquire with precision, and you render service to your teacher, there's a otherworldly relationship in which hate to use this modern example, but it's applicable. I felt as if I was downloading information from his heart to mine. And in the process, I was experiencing the kind of flavor that he got from all his teachers. He had sat before masters and inquired and practiced and served and therefore assimilated what they had to teach. And now suddenly it was like the greatest gift I was getting practically almost for free, except that, you know, I had to pay attention. But actually it was entering into me and I was getting it. And so this is the exhilaration of this process, that all the mysteries of the world, the actual crown jewel of all substances, pure love for God, resides within the heart of Vaishnavas. Bhavadvita Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantakstena Gadabrita. Yudhishthir said to Vidura, you're a walking place of pilgrimage. Because you carry the Lord within your heart, you actually purify the holy places when you go there. But most importantly, devotees carry love for God within their heart. And that's the most valuable. If one associates with and asks questions, then there can be a transfer that is, it is palpable. When one associates with, which means to hear from advanced devotees. So again, he's saying, O learned Brahman, you know everything because you are without material contamination. Therefore, whatever you have spoken to me appears perfectly right. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance, for you are narrating the topics of the Lord. What a perfect verse. Of course, Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yata Devi Tata Garau Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Prakashanti Mahatmanaha, which a godbrother of mine who had a lot of association with Prabhupada as one of his secretaries and also ended up as an executor of his will, told me that Prabhupada said this is the most important verse, because when one has faith in both Guru and Krishna, then one can know the import of Vedic scripture, otherwise not. Text 6, I beg to know from you how the personality of guided by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. 7, kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining and again winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting spirit of a player. I'm going to go all the way to 9 and then I'm going to take reflections. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful and they appear inconceivable because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them. 9. The Supreme Personality of God, it is one whether he alone acts with the modes of nature, material nature, or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to different, to direct the modes of nature. And so just one point, then some reflections, and that is that the questions of Parikshit Maharaj have to do with the material creation. And here, within this chapter, Srila Prabhupada mentions in several places how important it is to discuss the Srishti Lila, or the pastime of the Lord in relation to the material creation. Not that one simply tries to go directly to the pastimes of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, but we see here that the most exalted of souls are beginning with the discussion of the material creation, the wonder of it all, and the unlimited potency that we see here, even within what is considered to be separated or inferior energy of the Lord, and how it is that everything that we see within this world is going on by his potency. Esha desha stitasyagnir joshna vishtarati yata parasya paramara shaktis yatedam akilam jagat. The Puranas say that actually, although Krishna is in one place, by his inconceivable potencies, he pervades everything and he's controlling everything. Just as fire, although in one place, has its energies, heat and light, that go everywhere. So the examination of the energies of the Lord, even here in the material world, is vitally important. What to speak of understanding the Purusha avatars and how they enter into the material world and create it, how the living entities are impregnated within material nature, how they're being facilitated in sense enjoyment or liberation according to their desire, and so forth. These topics are discussed by the most exalted, and they're part of the category of knowledge, Sambandha Gyan, which is vital for anyone who is taking the holistic approach to coming to pure love for God. So those are a few opening remarks, and we've come all the way to number 9. So now we'll take a few reflections or questions to try to expand the conversation. So just take yourself off mute if you have a question or a reflection so far from anything. Mataji, what should we do?
Does anybody have any questions, reflections?
Reflections are easy because all you have to do is repeat back anything you heard so far, even if it's one word that's struck you in a certain way.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned that we should discuss Shruti Lila, discuss pastimes of Krishna in material creation, and the wanderings of his Leelas and unlimited potencies of the Lord, how everything we see is going on in this world by his creation.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, in the section of Narada Muni, just after he leaves home, his mother died. She was a single parent, and then she passed away, and he was left alone. But he had received blessings from the sages, yet had stayed during the Chaturmasya at his home. And now he wandered off into, as Prabhupada describes, the varieties of the Lord's creation, and he saw various kinds of scenery, like cities, small towns, mines, forests. And Prabhupada mentions there that it's important to observe the Lord's creation and see how things are working. Actually, we find this in the Sankirtan, when devotees go out specifically for teaching Krishna consciousness to others in the cities, towns, or wherever they may go. One can see how the Lord's energies are working and become more acquainted with them. And this is helpful to actually verify the information that we're getting in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and see for ourselves how there are different categories of people, animals, different kinds of environments based on the three modes of material nature. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Nice reflection. Let's have a couple more.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your reflection so far. What I wanted to say was that it says in Canto 2 that as a result of wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, Prachamara was able to give up all deep-rooted affection of his personal body, his wife, and everything. So I was just meditating on that point as well, saying that if we don't really know who Krishna is, and if we don't really know like our purpose in this world, then we aren't able to like fully surrender.
Yeah.
We aren't able to like fully give everything to Krishna and leave everything of this material world. And I think it's really important that that is the main focus of what we are doing in like sanghas and in like gatherings and everything, like trying to really understand who Krishna is.
What an excellent point. I really like the way you put that. Hey, you know, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods praying to Lord Krishna within the womb say, Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayastabhavara vashuddha buddhaya aruya krishena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. And that is that until one comes to revive one's personal relationship with Krishna, the lotus-eyed, he's mentioned there, Yene ravindaksha, then whatever kind of liberation, and it says there, imagined liberation, will be short-lived, because avashuddha buddhaya, one's not become completely purified in one's intelligence and existence. And therefore what you said is completely sound. By understanding Krishna and making it the goal of one's endeavors, there's a natural way in which everything else adjusts itself. Real peace and prosperity and spiritual advancement is based on proper alignment. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his bhajan, Radha Krishna Bull, that Jeev Krishna Das Abhishwas Korleto Ardukunai. If you're properly aligned as Krishna's servant, then dukkha or unhappiness is vanquished. Because, as you're just pointing out, the main cause of being unhappy or not successful is being out of alignment with our service to Krishna. Yeah, thank you very much. Excellent point. One more. Yes.
I also had a question on that point.
Yes.
So you talked about having pure intentions, and so my question was, how in this material world we're surrounded by like material blindness and like so many anarthas and so many like people that aren't really Krishna conscious, how can we have those pure intentions? How can we like ignore what everyone else is doing and have those pure intentions that everyone see Krishna in everyone's soul?
Well, the process of Krishna consciousness is effective in any environment and tends to overcome the anarthas that may be there. They're no match for the transcendental vibration of the holy name and of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And at first, I may not have enough of a taste, and oftentimes this is observed in the fact that I don't have time. Actually, everybody has the same 24 hours, so it's not time, it's actually taste. I may admit that to myself and say, it's not that I don't have time, it's just that I don't have taste. Because whatever I have taste for, ultimately I'll do. Nonetheless, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If you start with even the tiniest intention, then that won't be lost. It will be effective. And therefore, the process, just like any other discipline, generally starts with whatever one can do. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Sve Sve Adhikariya Nishta Saguna Parikirtita Vipariyatu Dosha Syad Ubaryar Esha Nishtaya. It's a fixed principle, he said, that if you act according to your adhikari, or whatever you can do now, that's a good quality. And the opposite is true. If you try to do more than you're qualified for, then it's called a fault. So starting from the smallest of endeavors, I like to compare to a wedge. A wedge has a very small end, and then it gets larger at the backside. So if you start with applying whatever you can do now and putting it into any little crack of time that you have in your life, and the pure vibration is there, applying a little pressure, just like a wedge, it starts to open up a space for you more and more in your life. And this is how the transcendental sound vibration acts. Krishna always, oftentimes, starts small and then he gets big. For instance, when he was a matsya, he started as a little minnow. And Maharaj Satyavrata saw him, and Krishna Krishna in the form of the little minnow said, you know, please take me home, save me from these big fish. And a little while later, he was millions of yojanas in size. So, what to speak of Vamanadeva, just said 3 paces of land, that's all I ask. So if we entertain Krishna in our lives by taking in whatever we can, maybe a tiny minnow size of endeavor or just the smallest of gestures, then gradually it will increase. So that's where we can start. And the Shastra again and again says that the power of Krishna's name, apana samsritim gauranya nama vibhishogranam tato sadhya vimucheta yabibheti swayambhayam, from the first canto, first chapter, the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna himself, and even fear personified flees from Krishna's name. What to speak of tiny anartas, they will be vanquished. So the Shastra gives us hope and says, don't worry, you'll be successful, just continue. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Is there another question? Yes, go ahead, please.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful explanation. I have a reflection here in the... I was reading this text 5 and listening to this thing. It says about listening to the speaker. If we listen to the speaker like a bona fide master or any Maharaj or any Prabhujis, if they're really good Krishna consciousness, then we get destroy the darkness. So before I used to listen for the, just like you put it in the YouTube, like any Bhagavatam or anything. So, but now after listening to you and reading to this text file, so I realized that we have to listen from the bona fide masters of Maharajas or Prabhujis, so to just to destroy our ignorance. So that's a wonderful point for me. So I will apply that one.
Yes, thank you for that reflection. I just expand on is that Sanatana Goswami quotes Avaishnava Mukund Giranam Shrutam Harikatam Ritam Shravana Naiva Kartavyam Sharpochista Yatapaya. Says it is important the quality of the speaker. And this was mentioned earlier. Parikshit Maharaj said about Shukadeva Goswami, said you're not attached to the material world. In fact, I'll go back to it. He's telling us, I'm backing way up. Okay, Parikshit Maharaj says in text number 5, O learned Brahmana, you know everything because you are without material contamination. Therefore, whatever you have spoken to appears perfectly right. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance, for you are narrating the topics of the Lord. So it's an amazing fact, but it's true that the state of the heart of the speaker will affect us in various ways. Therefore, the verse I quoted earlier, which says, Avaishnava mukun girnam shrutam harikatamritam, that one shouldn't hear from those who are not Vaishnavas, even if it's Bhagavatam. It's someone speaking Bhagavatam, but they may be interested in just earning a livelihood. They're not speaking it because they love Krishna or they're following the parampara. And therefore, the vibration is different. It can actually affect us in an averse way. Therefore, it's important to get to know who is the speaker, what is the source. And this is one of the important ways in which the acharyas direct us to be careful and aware. Like, what is your source? Who are you hearing from? Is the person living a pure lifestyle? Are they connected to the parampara, etc.? Yes. Nice points. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, a couple more verses, and I'll take a couple more questions. Text number 10, kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries because you are not only vastly learned in Vedic literature and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. And this is the mood of a disciple. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignasu shreya uttamam shabde paricha nishnatam brahman upashramashrayam. So the Shastra says, actually it's from the Bhagavatam, tasmad, therefore, gurum prapadyeta, one should take shelter of a guru, and jignasu shreya uttamam, and inquire about what is the ultimate goal of life. Shabde paricha nishnatam means that the person you approach, who's the guru, should. Shabde paricha nishnatam means that such a person, in Prabhupada's words, this is how he says it, has taken a dip in the ocean of transcendental knowledge. They took a dip in the ocean of transcendental knowledge. It means that they know the Shastras. And just like a lawyer knows, if you go to a lawyer and they don't know the law books, you should flee, because you're going to lose in court. And similarly, when you approach anybody, it doesn't matter who it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this standard that whoever knows the science of Krishna, such a person can become guru. And it doesn't matter, man, woman, child, if the person is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, shabde paricha nishnatam brahman upashramashrayam, means they're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that's their only business in life, and they know the Shastra, you can learn from such a person. You can accept such a person as guru. And so this verse, number 10, is the attitude. It displays the attitude of a disciple that kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries. That's what guru is supposed to do, is remove your doubts. Because doubts are like demons, they block our path. And you need somebody to surgically remove them on a regular basis. So you need somebody more powerful than yourself, who knows the Shastra and can assist you in that way. So kindly clear up these doubtful inquiries. Because you're not only vastly learned in Vedic literature, that's important, and self-realized and transcendent, that's important, but are also a great devotee of the Lord, that's the most important, and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. And we sing in from the Guruvashtakam in Mangalartik, Sakshad Dari Tvemastamasta Shastra Ruktastata Bhav Yata Eva Sadvi Kintu Praborya Priya Eva Tasya Mande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Guru, a person who is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has dedicated his or her life to the process of Krishna consciousness and knows the Shastra, this person becomes a via medium and is considered to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a very beautiful passage, an exhibition of that mood through which one can advance in Krishna consciousness. Then we come to 11. Sutta speaking again, and he says, when Shukadev Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna, and to reply properly, he spoke thus. So this is an important lesson also. So to reply properly, he spoke thus. Now what does he do? His first words are Namaha. You see, the next verse is number 12, Sri Shuku Uvacha Namaha. He doesn't just start displaying his knowledge and bringing out the points, but he goes on for the next 13 verses or so, and it's all glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offering his obeisances to his teachers, to his gurus, Vyasadeva, and to the Personality of Godhead himself. So the mood in which we do something is actually more important than what we do, because transcendental knowledge descends into a receptive heart. This is something Krishna points out in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in verses 8 through 12, where he begins listing all of the elements that are necessary for one who wants to receive knowledge. And the first several you'll remember very well when you hear this: amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantir, arjavam. And he goes on to list 16 more, And these start off with humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, accepting a bona fide spiritual master. And on he goes with 20, a list of 20. The most important out of that list is that one has a dedicated faith to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when that environment is there, then a knowledge about the Personality of Godhead can descend into one's heart. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So let's hear a couple points that Shukadeva Goswami makes. He says, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is complete. He is the complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable." 13. "I again offer my respectful obeisances unto the form of complete existence and transcendence, who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distress and the destroyer of the further advances in atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. For the transcendentalists who are situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destinations." This is... Nectarian descriptions of the various qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty and who is always a problem for the non-devotees. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds, yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. There is no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable." And then I'm coming to this next verse, and I'll stop here for any last questions and comments. But this is a famous verse: "Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah." Translation: "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer." So, this verse is very beautiful. The Sanskrit moves along in a very charming way. "Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidnoti kalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravasei namo namaha." And we get this list of about Lord Krishna. If you glorify him, if you remember him, if you're in the audience listening, if you offer prayers, if you hear about him, if you worship, you can cleanse the effects of all the sinful reactions in your life. So we'll take a few more reflections or a question to deepen the conversation. Yes.
This is a bit. Well, this is actually for text six. So Maharaj Parikshit says that he says, "I beg to know from you how the Personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods." So like that he's Durvipavium. So if he's inconceivable even to the demigods, well, not him, but well, Krishna is inconceivable, but the creation, then what to speak of us? So like, how come that question is asked?
Well, you'll find this also in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami to describe the material creation, and you've read Srimad Bhagavatam or gone through the fifth canto, and notice that there are a lot of details that Shukadeva Goswami gives about the universe, its length and breadth, the various planets, the various oceans, the various divisions, how many yojanas long they are, and so forth. But he gives a caveat when he begins to describe it. He says, actually, I'll just tell you a little bit about this, but it's so expansive and inconceivable that... even I can't understand it completely. So he's doing it as an exercise to show unlimited nature of the Lord's energies, even the material energy, which is, you know, mentioned by Krishna to be separated, to be inferior and so forth, that's beyond our imagination. And so he just describes some of it. So this is fairly common. I mean, who can understand the workings of the material nature, even when we go into it through material science? For instance, a physicist may go deeply within the study of a particular aspect of the material nature, and after 20 years of looking in a very in one spot and trying to analyze, that physicist will still be unfulfilled. It's not like he or she will come to the point of saying, I understand everything. So whether you look in a micro way or in a macro way, the Lord's energies, even in the material world, are inconceivable. And in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, it's described how the demigods are kuakam, they're bewildered by this energy of the Lord, the material nature. And we see again and again through the Bhagavatam, even Indra, he gets bewildered and overcome by the material nature itself, even though he's such an exalted soul. Shiva himself finds himself at times affected by the contact that he has with the material nature and so forth. So this is really a glorification of the Lord, that even his phenomenal universe is inconceivable. Demigods can't understand it. But we're not really meant to understand it so much. Our understanding is meant to be of its inconceivability and its unlimited nature. Does that make sense, or did you find that to be circular reasoning? Okay. I think we have time for maybe one more question or a reflection. There's another verse in this chapter that is extremely famous, and you might even say it's the flag verse for ISKCON. And I'll just mention it in closing, because we do finish at the top of the hour. Is that correct, Mataji?
Yes. Yes, but we can go a little while over.
Okay. So the verse that I would like to direct your attention to, which is extremely important in this chapter, is number 18. Hiratuhu nandra pulinda pulkasha abhirashumba yavana kasaraya ye nye cha papa yadapashraya shriya shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave nama. Hiratas, hunas, andras, pulindas, pulkashas, abhirashumbas, yavanas, members of the kasa race, and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So now in the purport, Prabhupada describes what all these terms mean, and they refer to various classes of people who are way outside the Varnashram system. They have no bearing or context about what is a sinful activity or not, and therefore they're engaged in all kinds of activities that are within the context of Varnashram, it would be considered vikarma, or sinful activities. But true to the mood of the Bhagavatam, these people are all qualified to come to the highest level of devotional service if they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his devotees. Because the power of Vishnu is so unlimited, and he's so merciful, and so are his devotees, that if one takes shelter of a Vaishnav and chants Hare Krishna, hears Srimad Bhagavatam, he or she, no matter from what position, can come to the topmost level. And this is an important point, that no one should claim that he or she is permanently unqualified. For actually, the process is all-powerful, and our potential also is eternally there. We are parts and parcel of Krishna. We ultimately have nothing to do with the material world. Asango hyayam purushaha. We really have no business here and ultimately no association here. We're just engaged in a very superficial way in a kind of attaching ourselves irrationally to an energy that is not compatible with us. So if one is able to get good association and perform devotional service systematically, one will come to the position of reviving one's relationship with Krishna and will have ultimate success. So this verse is important to remember and memorize and quote. And Prabhupada quotes it in many, many places throughout his writings and his lectures and so forth, as do the other acharyas. Shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave namaha. Because of the all-powerful Lord Vishnu, one can attain success by taking shelter of him. Last chance for comments, questions.
Hare Krishna, it's me again.
Yes.
So in the purport of that verse that you just mentioned, it's verse text 18.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada says that even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of devotee of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. So what do you have to say about people from other religions and taking shelter?
Well, you know, when Prabhupada went to Iran, he spoke to a local people there, and he encouraged them to follow their acharya, the acharya of Islam. I know there had been some schism there hundreds of years before. Prabhupada sussed out, you know, which was the actual bona fide acharya, and he encouraged people, follow actually what they say. And in a lecture this morning, or it's actually an interview with a reporter, I heard Prabhupada this morning talking to a man who was interviewing Prabhupada about, he was trying to get Prabhupada to admit that ISKCON was actually a sectarian thing. And Prabhupada wouldn't go there at all. He just kept coming back to the fact that actually it's a universal process. And the man asked, you know, if somebody else has a name of God they want to chant, is it true they can do that? Because he had heard that Prabhupada had said that, and Prabhupada confirmed, yes. If you're indicating God in your own nomenclature, then you'll attain success. The principle is sound. So if you're following an acharya, a bona fide acharya like Jesus Christ or Muhammad, then you're aligned properly, then that's what's expected of you, and you'll obviously make advancement from that position. You want to ask more to refine that?
No, thank you. It's really nice to hear about
Shilpa. Yeah, that was Prabhupada's move, but of course, you know, It really depends on the quality of one's following and also the information one's getting as well. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhoksaje ahaitukya pratiyata yayatma supersediti. Bhagavatam declares at the outset that really the success of the process depends on it being ahaitukya pratiyata, which means that it's your approach to it and your teachers are unmotivated and uninterrupted. It's something that you're living in constantly, and there's no motive. You're not asking for anything material. Bhagavatam rejects that in the beginning. A second verse, dharma projita kaitavo tra paramo nirmat saranam satam. This is not for cheaters, not for people who want to try to have the best of both worlds and get something from God. This is for people who are ready to surrender and attain pure devotional service. And they must be free from envy. Nirmatsaranam. This is a very high teaching. So, of course, the quality of the teachers and the way the message is being passed down faithfully and intact will matter also, because traditions, no matter how they start off, tend to get distorted over time. So one has to make sure that one's connected to a pure source. Well, like a dwarf trying to reach the moon, I've been sitting here trying to say something to glorify the Bhagavatam and please the listeners, but I fear that I've fallen way short. Nonetheless, I feel happy and purified having had your association, all of you. This is the best of groups. Those who are engaged in hearing chanting together from the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially hearing Prabhupada's immaculate purports, are on their way back to Godhead and are making advancement in devotional service. So thank you for letting me join in for a few moments here in your ecstatic lives. And please keep up the good work. Also, spread this to as many people as possible. Prabhupada, you know, wanted us to study the Bhagavatam deeply, and also he had a vision that people all over the world would be able to appreciate the literature. And to that end, he went to great pains to make sure to get it all written down, printed, and available. And it's actually a miracle that these books are available. So with whatever kind of innovation or resources you have, try to also distribute the Bhagavatam to as many people as you can. And the combination of hearing it and distributing it to others makes a perfect synergy that will enhance your life to no end. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much.
Thank you so, so much for facilitating our Sangha. It's really been so amazing to have you bring our attention to the key parts, to the key verses, and yeah, just going through it piece by piece with you has really made it go a lot deeper. So thank you so much for that. I know everybody is very much appreciative that you have given us your time. What I wanted to also say is that I'm just going to share very briefly that just share my screen. That on WhatsApp there is one of the projects that is very dear to Vaisheshika Prabhu and dear to Srila Prabhupada is the is, as he was saying, the project of spreading the message. Sorry, I'm just going to share my desktop. And in that way there is a WhatsApp group. And that WhatsApp group, there's a WhatsApp group, so it's the summer marathon, and for 10 days they need 250 devotees to give 4 hours to distribute books. Maybe Divyananda Prabhu can also say something a little bit more about this. To distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, particularly they're focusing on the Your Ever Well Wisher book, and so I'm going to send this out on the main groups, and I encourage everybody to join in.
Thank you, Sachidani Mataji.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, no, thank you so much for sharing this. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. The summer marathon begins tomorrow. It's a national marathon. All the temples across the UK are taking part in this. We have 13,000 of these Your Ever Well Wisher books, biography of Srila Prabhupada, sitting in the warehouse. And we want to get them out to the people. And it is nice that with the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, if we are able to introduce somebody who's actually lived the Bhagavad Gita throughout his life to the perfection, will bring about a real revolution in the people's life, because when they hear about the stories of our acharyas, that's what get them going to take to the devotional service with even more vigor and enthusiasm. And Srila Prabhupada's story is really an unparalleled world, in the whole world. I mean, right from the beginning days of how he grew up in such a nice environment and all the way till the time he was about to leave his body in Vrindavan, that he dedicated his life for one purpose, which was to get this vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. So if we can take Prabhupada to as many people as possible, I think this will be the biggest success for our movement, for our temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And yeah, a lot of devotees are coming forward. We already have about 80 to 90 devotees, around 70 to 80. The group is built up and we are gearing up. And out of these 10 days, we are going to very systematically organize the two weekends, which will be the first weekend will be this weekend, and then the following weekend. So if you can't come during the week, which I appreciate, could be with, you know, with the children, with the family, it may not be easy, but we will be organizing the weekend. So all the information will be shared on this WhatsApp group, like last year marathon. And then you just have to turn up. We will also share some of our experiences on how you can introduce this beautiful book to people's life. And we will give you the street maps. We will allocate you with the people who have been going out. If you have a fear of going out in unknowns, so you can go with somebody who's been there and just watch and see how the magic of Sankirtan unfolds in front of you. And then, so for the first Saturday, we have already planned up. We have His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu personally coming with us to Birmingham. We have a coach which will leave at the manor at 9 o'clock. So we have only, I think, about 8 or 9 seats left to be filled up in the coach. So if any one of you still have no plans for Saturday and wish to join it, feel free to do so. Or else if you're going for a Food for Life or a wedding, which is happening in the town, please carry some of these books from the temple and give it to the people as you meet. And once you complete your 4 hours throughout the 10 days, just drop in a message with your name. And we will take that name to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada at Bhaktivedanta Manor and offer it with the love of offering of this marathon to the devotees. So do come and take part in this, because, you know, world moves when devotees come together. So it's a great opportunity to come and take part. So apart from Birmingham, that's already been shared on the group, and Suchirani Mataji will share that as well. But for Sunday, we will share the program tomorrow. So do join in the group so you get to know what's happening over the weekends. And just be part of this, part of this Sankirtan. So I'll just probably ask His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu to come in, because he's also joining us for the last, the first 3 days of marathon while he's here, and has already vowed to do his probably more than 4 hours. So, Guru Maharaj, would you like to say anything?
Well, I wouldn't want to miss it. I mean, you know, you can't have any more fun than going on Sankirtan. It's exhilarating, it's scary, it's exhilarating, and it's so rewarding that, what's human life for anyway? We just come in here for a few hours and we're out. So while we're here, it's important to take risks and make sacrifices. The best of all a kind of sacrifice is to go out and give other people the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna smiles on such people. And when it's all set up, ready to go, it means the books are already printed in boxes. There's a coach waiting for you, luxury coach, by the way. And you know, all you have to do is get in the bus. Then, and really, you don't have to do anything when you get there. You just have to go along with the whole flow and see what happens. Then why would I miss it? So that's been my experience throughout my life, that the real action and advancement is there when you take a little bit of risk and go out on the edge. So Sankirtan is like that. It's the most fun I could ever have. And I I'll admit it to everybody right here, I'm addicted to it. It's very addicting kind of thing, because the energy is so powerful. And I see anybody who does it gets great benefit from it. So I advocated it in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, and I personally saw Prabhupada do that too. He did it himself. He went all over India by himself distributing books, and then he came to America and told us to do it. And he always asked us on morning walks, what are they saying? He wanted to know what people were saying and what we were telling them. He was vitally engaged in book distribution. So if you want to feel a connection to Prabhupada immediately, then especially taking these books, Your Every Well Wisher, out and giving them to people who've never met him before is really a kind of edifying experience that you can't get anywhere else. Owarimashita. Hogya.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Back to you, Suchirani Mataji. So thank you so much for allowing me to share what's happening over the weekend. Over to you, Mataji.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, as a part of, I think Shishika Prabhu shows by example that a part of a healthy, balanced spiritual life is taking the message in within the heart and also giving it out to everyone. So I do encourage everybody to go. Going on book distribution with Vaisheshika Prabhu is a unique and absolutely explosively amazing experience. So if you possibly can free yourself up this weekend. I highly, highly recommend it. If anyone out there is a nervous book distributor, I definitely am. You just have to go. You just have to go there, even if you just go and hide behind another devotee. But don't just be afraid. Just get yourself out there and just see what happens. But the magic will definitely happen.
Yeah, and actually, if you come out and I'm going out at the same time, you're welcome to walk around with me, and I'll show you what I've learned over the years and how to distribute books. So I personally invite any of you who want to learn. I can take as many as 52 devotees with me at the same time, so don't worry.
There's an offer we can't refuse. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
We're very, very fortunate to have had Vaisheshika Prabhu give us his time, share his wisdom with us. And it's really just having a devotee like yourself speak words of Srila Prabhupada and actually bring our attention to the important parts. It feels very purifying. So thank you so much. We really appreciate that. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu ki.
Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Vishcha Kripa Sindhabe Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Natari Armarman.